the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour with your hosts, Zig Zag and Rufus, coming to you live from planet Earth, courtesy of Smoke and Hits Records and Global Corp Industries. Now, grab a beer, put your feet up, and get ready for the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour!
Hey, hey, hey! Welcome to the Rufus Hour. In there. Rufus, are you with us? He's got an angry look on his face. Anyways, I hope everyone had a great week this week. I know that I was glad to see that it was Friday. You know, I don't know if anybody's listening right now, but why don't you call me at 646-478-0616 and we'll talk about your week, because frankly, I'm pretty sick of even thinking about my week. You know, it's Friday. Probably didn't get as much accomplished this week as I should have, but then again, I never do, which is not really a surprise, probably. But I'd like to hear from someone else here how their week was. That way I can say, hey, you know what, maybe my week wasn't so bad, or hey, maybe I had a great, probably the shittiest week ever. I see that Rufus keeps getting cut off here, so why don't we listen to Beer is Food real quick, and you guys, while we try to get... Rufus, back on the phone. This is Beer is Food, circa 1996, from Hyper Sloth, the power duo.
Your fingers itching, open them all to mirth. Spend all day. it all the time.
There it is, folks. The classic beer is food from Hyper Sloth. I think we got Rufus on the line. Rufus, are you with us?
I'm barely with you. I can hardly hear you.
Really? Maybe I need to turn up my juice. How's that sound? Any better?
Are you talking to Megan? I have no idea. This Blog Talk Radio connection is fucking bullshit.
Rufus, is this Blog Talk Radio connection bullshit? If so, say yes.
I hear
sir, this is bullshit.
Syllable you're saying. I have. I just had a business call earlier today, sitting in this very spot. No issues.
You sound fine to me. Maybe it's my connection that is fucked up.
Oh, there you go. Now you sound good.
Hey, thank you. I'm looking good, too, just so you know.
Well, I wouldn't know, because for some reason...
I know. I can see you, and I can see me, but you can't see me. Do you have something turned off there?
No. There's nothing I can do to control whether I see you or not, unfortunately.
Really? See, and I want to hit the camera button, but it says stop video, so I don't want to do that, because at least this way we can watch it on the playback. So how was your week, Rufus? You winded down. You've had a couple of cocktails to look back on the week. What are you thinking? What are your thoughts? You get as much done this week as you wanted to?
I went to the dentist today, ZigZag.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
First time since at least, and I'm guessing, and being generous, 2008.
Oh, and, that's babies. I haven't been to the dentist since 1993, and I still have my teeth, and only one of them gives me trouble.
Well, see, I had one that gave me trouble a few days ago. Now it doesn't give me trouble at all. I don't think it was a tooth. I think I had an ulcer or something. But it's a wisdom tooth that came in sideways, and when I look at it, I can see it's only like halfway there, and I can see like nerves dangling and twitching out of it. So I was like, well, I should go to the dentist.
You know,
so I went
funny?
To the dentist today. Oh, no.
Go ahead. Well, I've figured out a great way not to go to the dentist. I look at something and go, I could buy this frivolous piece of junk or I could save the money and go to the dentist. And as of right now, it's like the frivolous pieces of junk are winning.
Yeah, the problem is I'm pretty well stocked on frivolous junk. I tried that and I looked around and I was like, God damn, I'm knee deep in junk. Fuck, I better go to the dentist. But, overall, things look good. I got a good diagnosis. He's like, man, considering the fact you haven't been since 2008, your choppers are looking pretty good. And I do brush my teeth like 7 times a day just because I hate having like food aftertaste in my mouth. But I have this one wisdom tooth that's about half disintegrated that's going to have to get yanked out in the next month or so.
Wow, and it's not causing you any pain at the moment?
No, and he was surprised. He's like, are you serious? It's not causing you pain? And I'm like, nah, I can't feel it. And he's like, because that looks like mincemeat, dude. You really need to have that out.
Did you tell him it's because you drink a lot? Did you say, I've been drinking for 9 years to mask the pain?
You know, I thought it. I didn't say it, especially when he said, I can't believe that's not infected. And I should have said, well, alcohol kills a shitload of germs, and when you constantly have that in your mouth, you're not going to get infected. Yeah.
It's like, I think that the AMA, I think, says something about that everyone should like be drinking beer constantly to keep their mouths free of germs. And I've taken them up on that.
Well, I asked them that whenever I come in to have it extracted, that instead of having the nitrous oxide, they just set up a kegerator next to me.
Right, like a old-timey whiskey bottle, like they used to do in like the 1800s, right before he pulls your tooth out with some kind of rusted pair of... pliers.
Yeah, it's just going to be a jug with 3 X's on it, and I'll just take a few swigs.
I like to call that from the granny era, or the granny, what was that show, the Beverly Hillbillies, you remember that?
Yes, of course.
Then granny always had her triple X jug. She knew how to make the white lightning, old granny did.
God bless her.
She was a hot piece of tail, no doubt about it.
She
would you, if you had to choose, who would you have had sex with, Miss Hathaway or Granny?
I can't have both at the same time. Wait, was Miss Hathaway, was she the secretary for the banker guy?
Yes.
Oh, that's tough, because I remember as a child thinking, she looks kind of hot.
Really?
Tightly wound.
You like Miss Hathaway. You know
I
what?
Think she reminded me of that. She reminded me of all of my strict teachers that I just wanted to teach a lesson to myself.
Oh, my. Another breakthrough here on the Hypersloth Happy Hour. You heard it, Rufus. It's breakthrough. So many things. And you said your wife is a teacher, Rufus? That's very interesting. Very, very interesting,
yes,
to say the least.
That's right. I'm going to start calling her Miss Hathaway.
You should see what she says. I wonder if she'll slap you. Of course, I thought Miss Hathaway was a lesbian, personally.
That's cool.
Was I wrong about that?
No, you're probably right.
Which was probably even more why you were attracted to her.
Oh, yeah.
You think her and Ellie Mae ever got it on?
God damn, don't get me started.
Yeah, Ellie Mae was good stuff, I'll tell you that. Nothing like seeing Ellie Mae in her, like, 1960s bathing suit to give you a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old boy a raging hard-on.
No kidding. Those were good, confusing times.
They thought that was wholesome entertainment. I'll tell you what I did want to do. I always wanted to use a piece of rope for a belt, like Jethro did.
We should sell those on the Button Buddy site. Just a couple of random ropes for a belt.
Authentic hillbilly belts.
Oh, man, it'll be a hemp rope belt.
There you go. We could do like a version two that is like what a brother wears. Or a monk's robe.
A monk's robe.
Just long enough so you can put it around your waist and also long enough so you can hang yourself from a short rafter.
Yes. Versatile. Multifunctional. It's like the multi-tools of rope belts.
So
the
when
Swiss
you were
Army rope belt.
In the phone book, did you go like under Acme Dentist? Or was it the first dentist name that you came across, or like the biggest letters in the phone book, or did you just drive by this place? How did you know about this dentist?
First of all, what's a phone book?
That's true.
I can't say the last time I set eyes or hands on a phone book, honestly, except to throw it in the trash.
Right. I mean, the fucked up part is they deliver like 40 phone books to my office and my house a year. Just enough for me to go, what the fuck is that garbage around my mailbox? And then look and see that it's like three phone books that have all been delivered in the...
This is vandalism.
Well, I mean, it's obviously littering, I would think.
Yeah, no, I don't get rid of these phone books. Let's deliver them door-to-door.
There you go. We've got a surplus of phone books. I mean, how do they even convince people to put their name in the phone book anymore? They have to sell it with a web deal. I'm sure it's some kind of bundle.
Oh, yeah.
So on our hypersloth.com, we've hit a little bit of a snag, it appears.
Possibly. We,
I don't like the sound of that.
Apparently the previous owners have like a grace period where they can reclaim it back. Now, personally, I think if you have a grace period, it shouldn't even go up for auction. Because that's fucking bullshit. That we can bid on it and then lose it. Even if we get refunded, that's just ridiculous. Because we're making plans on it, you know?
Right, and here's obviously the bullshit deal, is that the people probably weren't even intending on buying it back. Then we put a bid on it. Then the cocksuckers at GoDaddy or wherever are like, okay, we could get a nickel more from these other schmucks. We better email them and let them know that someone's bidding on their domain name.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, of course. They want to get a little bidding war going so they make the most change out of it, I'm sure. But, I mean, luckily nothing's happened. I mean, we won the auction. At this moment, we own the domain. There's only 5 more days left for anything negative to happen with it. So if 5 days go by, it'll show up in my accounts, and then we're good to go.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm willing to go up to $500 if that's what it takes.
Well, see, that's the thing. The auction's over. We don't have – if they come in and just buy it, because they kind of have ownership on it. They just
– I see.
Right. They can say, no, we didn't mean for it to expire. We want it back. And then we just get refunded. There's no bidding. The bidding's over, unfortunately. We just lose at that point.
Well, you think they would want us because, I mean, are the other people, if they come in, are they going to be able to buy it back for more than we paid, or do they just automatically fucking get it back?
I don't know what the rate is, honestly. I mean, if there's a grace period, then I imagine they just renew their registration fee, which is like $14, and then they have it again.
You're definitely right. That is total bullshit for even to put it up on auction and get our hopes up like that. I told you, my heart can't take it. So now that we're doing the shows on Tuesdays and Fridays, I bought a Mega Million ticket for Hyper Sloth tonight because the drawing will be tonight. It won't be during the show. But here's the numbers I came up with, right? Granted, I'm in line at the grocery store, and it's snowing like 2 feet an hour, and the wind is blowing like 8,000 miles an hour right now. So there was a run on bread and milk, thanks to the local newscasters. So people were kind of rushing me. But here's what I came up with for our numbers. All right, I remembered 2404 Roehampton, right, was our address in Austin.
Okay.
So I use 2404. Right?
Got those?
Got it. It's my birthday, which is the 21st.
Of course.
And your birthday is the 22nd, correct?
Right on.
And so there's, and I used 8 because we're both 821 and 822.
Nice.
And then for the Powerball, I had to pick 5, and it has no meaning at all, but the lady behind me was getting kind of huffy because I was taking so long throwing out the stuff. So if we win, I will give her a $100 bill. If we lose, I shall crush her brain with a stomping boot. So there you go, folks. Those are the Hyper Sloth numbers. And I think that we should play this particular set of numbers every week, Rufus. But we can pick a different number other than 5 if you can, if something comes to mind.
Okay, I think that's a good idea. How epic would it be if you won the fucking Mega Millions while we're like still doing this show? So they don't do the show. They don't pick up the numbers until after the show. So I won't know. Don't tell me. If you fucking win, I don't want you to tell me until Tuesday's show. I want to find out live.
I don't see that happening. I don't see me being able to keep it under my hat. Maybe I'll just fly down and surprise you for the show on my Learjet, on the Hypersloth
jet. That
would
be the shit. Absolutely.
I really don't know how much it is, but I'm assuming I could maybe afford a small plane or to charter a jet for one day to come down and visit you.
You could get a really good bus ticket.
You know what? You're probably right. This is so weird, dude. I looked at getting a train ticket for my family. We were all going to go to Niagara Falls, right, when it starts to get a little warmer out. And it turns out that riding the train is more expensive than flying to Niagara Falls.
Really?
Yeah. Riding the train is not cheap. And I think that they've kind of got the market cornered because I'm assuming that the only people that really want to ride a train are people that are too terrified to fly. Because there's not really any convenience in riding the train. Are you still with us, Rufus? Well, since I don't have Rufus on the line here and it appears he got dropped, I'm going to play, you know what, on Friday nights when I was at St. Edward's, 1987, me and a couple of guys from Premont Hall, second floor, which the ladies dubbed Animal House, I might add, used to have what we called our Friday night free-for-alls, where we get a couple cases of beer, sit in the room, and none of us were old enough to drink, so we couldn't really go out. So we would sit in the room with our cases of beer from, believe it or not, Whole Foods Co-op back then. The original Whole Foods was just a small hole-in-the-wall store on Guadalupe in Austin, Texas. It wasn't a big fancy chain of a bunch of fancy beer places or fancy foods and whatnot. It was just like a co-op where if you wanted good prices on beer and bulk foods, you just kind of had to work there like 1 or 2 days a week. And my friend Joe Molina worked there, and he used to steal beer out the back door since we weren't old enough. Or maybe he had someone buy it for him. I don't know. But we used to listen to Ted Nugent's Free For All. Are you familiar with that song, Rufus? Does not assume that Rufus is familiar with that song. Maybe he is. But, Rufus, we're having a little technical difficulties on there. You got to turn your mic on, I think.
No, Walk Radio dropped the call again, so I had to call back in. Last I heard, we were talking about trains, and now we're talking about Ted Nugent.
Well, I had told the listeners here that when I was at St. Edward's my freshman year, 1987, on second floor Premont Hall, we used to get together on Friday nights for our Friday night free-for-all, we called it, believe it or not, just like you did, titled the show tonight. And we used to man, I've got mush mouth tonight. Sorry, folks. But we used to listen to Ted Nugent, Free For All. And I was asking if you were familiar with that song.
Oh, yeah. And, I said, but I was muted because they had just reconnected me. Of course, I'm a red-blooded American male. Absolutely.
All right. Well, you know what? I've got Ted Nugent's Free For All tuned up here. You mind if I play Free For All to get us in the spirit of the Friday Night Free For All?
Of course not.
All right. Here it is, folks. It's not going to sound great because I kind of have to do a tricky way of getting it to play here, but this is Ted Nugent, Free For All. This is where, remember the part where it says the stakes are high and so am I. It's in the air tonight. It's a free for all because I'm going to smoke some weed while this bitch is playing.
Yes. Awesome.
That's it. Welcome to the Hyperslot Free For All.
Cool.
Friday Free For All. Hey, you know what? You know how weird that I was so impressionable at that age, Rufus, and he said, the stakes are high and so am I. It's in the air tonight. Of course, that made me want to smoke marijuana and get extremely high. How hurt do you think I was when I found out that he doesn't even smoke marijuana or get high? I mean, that's kind of like false advertising on his part.
It is. And you know what's – I was thinking about this earlier today or yesterday. It's like – I don't know what to think about people that are that crazy, like Ted Nugent or Gene
right.
Simmons or Weird Al Yankovic. Like, how do you get in the mindset to do that crazy-ass rock star shit without booze or something? I mean, on one hand, I have – like the highest amount of respect for people who just do that totally sober, and that's like who they are. They can just be badass with all the balls to the wall and all the confidence. But on the other hand, that's kind of scary that somebody's like that just all the time without intoxicants.
It's probably undiagnosed ADHD, I would probably say.
Or maybe no, I did see...
They have a gluten allergy that makes them psychotic when they eat certain foods and they just don't know it. So they're like drugged when they're after a pizza or something.
Well, God bless them. I'll smoke some gluten with them. I did see an episode of that one of Anthony Bourdain's shows, Parts Unknown or whatever, where he was hanging out with Ted Nugent, and they were in some kind of cafe. And it was a really good episode because they're totally opposites, but yet they like each other. But Nugent was drinking a beer, and I thought he was a total teetotaler, like not just drugs,
you know what?
Booze too.
That's funny that you say that too, because I thought he was a total teetotaler too, and then I had seen some old footage of him like with beer cans and holding a beer and shit. So I don't know. I'm not sure that he was entirely sober. Maybe he just never did drugs. But what did he say? He was addicted to pussy. That was his deal, right? Or was that Gene Simmons?
Or was it both?
Probably
of
them? Both. Probably both.
I mean, what guy isn't addicted to pussy? I mean, can you honestly say as a male you could get enough pussy? I mean,
you know what's crazy?
You might hurt or your dick might hurt or whatever, but I just don't think if it was a different chick every night, would you be like, oh, I'm sick of getting pussy. Fuck this.
No, never, never. You know, I bet there are some girls, given the era that Kiss and Ted Nugent were both sort of touring, I bet there's some girls that had both of them. Some, what do they call them?
Rose?
Groupies? Oh, yeah.
Probably in the same day.
Probably, or even in the same room.
Oh, my God. Now, I mean, it's hard for me to believe that Gene Simmons never did drugs. I mean, he can say that or whatever. I have a tough time believing that you could, and I admire him for it, like you were saying, believing that you could come outside of yourself like Gene Simmons did to be his character in Kiss. What is his name? I have no idea. Does he have a name, or does he just go by Gene Simmons, the God of Thunder?
He does have a name. His character in the band has a name. I don't remember what it is.
You know, that's pretty sad. How do we not remember it's like Gene Simmons actually overshadowed his character. He's like the anti-Big Bird. Because nobody remembers really who Big Bird is, you know what I mean? But Gene Simmons is bigger than his character, you know, which is pretty fucking a huge feat, really, if you think about it.
Well, that's true. He's a businessman, dude, and that's all by...
He is.
By design. I mean, I really think that he probably hasn't done any drugs or booze. He strikes me as someone who's just methodical and insane for a reason, who's like, I'm going to play this fucking role to make myself a shitload of fucking money.
And that he's done.
Yeah. I mean, he seems really like he's playing chess with the world.
And here's the deal, too. You know what? Shannon Tweed... I mean, she's had way too much plastic surgery, if you ask me now, but I used to think that Shannon Tweed was so hot and so cool. So I'm like,
oh,
you know what? Gene must be an all right guy because he landed Shannon Tweed, right? And she's probably just been a little too Hollywooded up, but I think when she first started in Hollywood, she was kind of a laid-back, mellow person, you know, with a good attitude.
One of the first Playboy spreads I ever saw as a young man was Shannon
Tweed. Dude, I'm down with that. I'm down
and I was
with
like,
that.
What? I was like,
yes.
This is... I'm like, all the chicks
what
in my high school are fucking ugly cunts. What's the deal?
I thought Shannon Tweed was so cool and so hot was from that exact spread that you're talking about.
Oh,
where
epic.
Her muff hair was nicely puffed out to the side and blonde, and her sister was in it with her as well, if I do recall correctly.
You do recall correctly. And it was... I don't want to say all natural, but it was before, you know, the most recent plastic surgery and shit. And it was a young boy's dream, for sure.
That's where Shannon Tweed will always be for me. That's how I like to remember Shannon Tweed.
Me too.
Because, you know, it sucks when people get into – I promise when we get, like, even more famous than we are right now that you won't get your lips done. Just promise me that, Rufus.
Dude, fuck no. I don't understand. Once you've made your millions and you don't have to worry about what people fucking think, why would you even bother with that? I would get uglier on purpose. I'd get plastic surgery to make me look terrible just because I wouldn't give a fuck. I'd be like, yeah, just – take out this side of my face. I don't give a fuck. But throw my butt cheek on there. That's fine.
Unbelievably, that would make you probably more famous. You'd be saying,
I bet it would.
You would be like circus freak show famous. And then you would just have like your regular run of the mill fame too. So I just think for you, that's
all the plumbing. I'd have all the plumbing rerouted too. So my anus would be like my right nostril. I'd just crap out of my nose.
I mean, it would just be like brown snot.
Yes. It's disgusting. But
it would
awesome.
Be interesting. Why? You know what? We're so lucky that didn't happen. Imagine if that happened and that was just like normal. We're just like going around. Someone would have to invent some kind of diaper for your face to like keep you from shitting on people's food and whatnot.
It'd be like a tray underneath your nose. You just fill it with shit every day and you have to scoop it out.
I would have mine surgically altered to go out between my butt cheeks.
What a freak. That guy shits out of his ass instead of his face.
I was the first person to start that.
Like an animal.
We're kind of lucky that we look the way we do. Really. It's kind of simple. Clothes for human beings are pretty simple, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Food in
You're
the top,
chewing,
food in the bottom.
Right, and nowadays you can wear them as loose as you want. Dude, they had to send a thing home at not at my daughter's school, but one of the schools here in town, where it was asking people not to wear their pajamas to school. And they were meant
I saw that.
They're talking about.
I saw that on the news. That like went viral.
And I don't know if it was just here, but it might have been just here. I don't know. Maybe it happened somewhere else. But I'm totally with that because I can't tell you how many times I've been standing in line at like the store or somewhere, and someone's wearing their stinky ass fucking pajamas, and they got like that fucking ass smell going. You know what I mean?
No, That's epidemic, dude. That's everywhere. That's here, too, man. Every time I go to Walmart, God forbid I have to, there's always a pajama lady or not really dudes. It's always ladies in their pajamas. A dude will be, like, dressed up in, like, work boots, and he's got, like, dirt on his knees like he's been busting ass. And the bitch is,
really?
Like, you know, yeah. But the girl he's with is, like, wearing pajamas and, like, slippers. I'm like, oh, you poor guy.
Because I see dudes wearing pajamas sometimes, too. But you know what? In their defense, a lot of times I never saw this. I'm, like, out at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning and thinking that it's, like, normal time of day because I basically can never sleep. And I guess people are probably just, like, running down to 7-Eleven to get some cigarettes. And I'm like, look at this fucking guy in his pajamas. Who he'd probably been, like, in bed for 2 hours or something. And I'm like, what a fucking slob. He's not in his fucking regular work clothes at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, I think you can cut guys and gals some slack at that time of night. I'm talking about, like, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
No, I see plenty of people in their pajamas during the day. And you know what? If they really want you to think that they, like, changed into clean pajamas to go out, they're just insulting your intelligence. Because you know the pajamas are not clean and have not been not slept in. I mean, they're just like filthy, farting, bodily fluids coming out of you in the sleep mode and then like going somewhere. What if you went to like a funeral and people are just like in their pajamas? I mean, I'm sure it's happened.
I was about to say, that's what the next Hypersoft project should be like. Pajama formal wear and like pajamas you wear to a meeting.
Yes, exactly. Cash jammas. They could just be like casual wear but they're it's comfortable and kind of look and just have the same cut as a pajama. So you're like, I'm kind of trying, but I'm even really not taking this too seriously at this meeting today.
Your slippers look like penny loafers. You have khaki pajama pants and like a pajama shirt that zips up in the back.
Yeah, no, it's just a pullover. It's a pullover with a collar. Into it.
It's a sweatshirt with a tie and a collar.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And it's the collar, the tie just goes down in behind the sweatshirt, so it's actually not a full tie. It's just like a knot that goes down behind the sweatshirt. Or you know what? We could do like a V-neck. Like a V-neck pullover thing that's like three pieces. Oh, I got it. We're on to this. Good idea, dude. We have a whole new way. Everything's just built-in Dickies.
Right, but you can also have an option where the tie, like, unfolds into a bib. So you can also go to the barbecue joint after your business meeting in your pajamas and unfold your tie.
You can, like, take it off and just use it as a bib. I like the idea of this. I mean, we could do, like, a whole setup of formal slippers. Like, slippers for every occasion.
Formal slippers. That's hilarious.
Well, I mean, really? You're going to have to go with it if you're going to do it. 100%, Rufus. So did you see the debate last night?
No, I did not, because I knew that you would enlighten me.
I wanted
to hear about it from you.
Recap.
What happened?
You know, really, it wasn't that great of a debate. And if Bernie made all the facts, I mean, it's just so weird because now he's just, like, made every fact there is. What do you do? I mean, people are like, he keeps repeating his same shit. Well, I mean, you know what? He's talking about fucking fundamentals of fixing government and society.
Right.
You don't have to. They're like, how's he going to pay for it and all this shit? And, you know, he'll find money just like any other fucking president finds money. They probably write a check, I would imagine, to pay for it or borrow it from China. But, you know, I mean, what more can you say? He wants to fix America and people are behind him. And she is a corporate shill. I mean, really, she's a corporate shill. Now she just kind of repeats all of Bernie's ideas, but keeps saying stuff. She's like Debbie Downer. He's like, we can fix America. We can fucking, you know, we can get people out of jail, less incarceration, break up Wall Street, blah, blah, blah. And she's always like, well, Bernie, no, you can't. You know what I mean? Which says to me, is like, well, of course you can't. If you're already thinking that you can't, you know, if you know you're going to try, you can't because you're not even going to try.
That's right. You can't if, you know, the establishment won't let it happen. So vote me in so I can change the establishment.
Right. And get people involved in politics, which is what Bernie's doing. You know, you can't.
That's true.
He has 4 million people giving him money. She has, 775,000.
Jeez.
And she has more money than him. What does that tell you?
Corporate chill. She's
getting millions of dollars from corporate sponsors, from PACs, from super PACs. Well, that's just what that tells you. But I didn't want to get all political on a Friday night. Big plans for the weekend, Rufus? You get figured out on your... what you going to do for Valentine's Day?
No, when is that? 2 days from now? No idea. None whatsoever.
Sunday, yes. Did you get a box of... I actually went and got a box of candy in the shape of a heart. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
What? Andy Warhol makes that? What kind of artistic
collection
is that?
And it's painted like a soup can. It's amazing. It's
is that right? Wow. That's pretty cool. My idea for Valentine's Day is I was going to be like, I'm going to continue paying for absolutely everything. Love you.
That's so sweet of you.
Isn't it?
That is very sweet of you. You are an unselfish man.
I am.
You know what? It's like the deal is when you pay for everything for so long that it's like they don't even realize that you're paying for it anymore.
Boy, that's the truth.
You know, they're just like, oh, yeah, that. Don't worry about that. That gets paid for. That'll get paid for.
Yeah.
You know, you really got to watch the iPad and shit like that, dude. Does your son ever use an iPad or anything?
We have pads, but they're not iPads. And we got Android tablets.
So do they...
Yeah, we got him one. We got him one.
Do they try to sneak in and, like, get him to sign up for shit and whatnot? I mean, that
no,
shit
we
is
got
relentless.
We got locked down, dude, for an old guy. He can't do anything other than what we want him to.
So how do you lock it down? I mean, my daughter's not... I'm not talking about, like, porno and shit like that. I'm saying, like, game-wise shit. Like, crazy games they have.
No, it's set up with my account as like the master account, and my son's added on as a profile, and so he can't do anything without my password.
Now, did you ever hear of Geometry Dash?
No.
Well, I hope that you never do, Rufus, because my daughter, it was like an app that they suggested at my daughter's school. Yes, at schools now, apparently they suggest apps, so... They can do less teaching on the job, and you can do more teaching in front of an iPad while they're at home on your time with them. And it has nothing to do with fucking geometry, dude. It's a game where you're a square. Your character is a square, and you jump over like mountains made out of triangles. But it teaches you absolutely nothing about fucking geometry. Nothing.
Absolutely fucking nothing.
It's like, how do they get the teachers to recommend this shit? I mean, are the teachers getting like some kind of kickback? I wonder.
I'm sure. It's like the pharmaceutical industry for teachers.
Yeah, I guess the teachers got to be getting free stuff from somewhere. But you know, that's unfortunate, dude. If you think about what a teacher goes through, and my wife's working at the school now. And to be a teacher to me sounds like it would suck because a lot of kids are fucking, their parents are fuck-ups, you know?
Yeah,
and
especially around here.
The teachers got, a lot of kids have emotional shit, like you know, ADHD and other shit going on. I mean, it makes me think how fortunate I am that my wife wasn't a meth addict when she was pregnant with my daughter.
I
really appreciate that.
Always good to not be a meth addict when you're pregnant.
But then, as a teacher, you got to spend money out of your own fucking pocket for shit? That's fucking crazy, dude. In any other job, someone would be like, I only want to buy my own pens and paper. And these fucking poor teachers are going out like buying pens and paper for 15 or 20 people a fucking month.
Yeah. No, my wife's a...
Why should it be like...
I don't know, especially at least in this small town. Like every kid, I can't tell you how many times my kid comes home and is like, I met so and so today. He's my new friend. He doesn't live with his mom and daddy. He lives with his grandma, and his grandpa doesn't live with his grandma. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then my wife substitute teaches and stuff, and she'll come home and be like, this kid didn't come to school. She hasn't had breakfast in four fucking days. So my wife will, like, go to McDonald's and buy breakfast and shit for everybody.
It blows my fucking mind. I'm with you, dude. That's exactly the kind of shit my wife was experiencing. I'm like, I don't want to tell Rufus. I don't want him to think I live in a bad part of town where, you know, everybody's on crack or something. But it's just, that's what it's turned into. My wife is 42, okay? And it's at school. One of the kids said, how old are you? Blah, blah, blah. And she's like 42, and then the kid goes, oh, that's how old my grandma is.
I don't mean to laugh, but that's pretty much how it is right here.
Grandma's 42. He's fucking 10 years old. Grandma's 42. What the fuck that tell you? I mean, how old do you think the youngest grandma in America is? I mean, it's got to be on the web somewhere, doesn't it?
I'm sure it does.
This moment brought to you by Google. We're going to look up.
Everything's brought to you by Google these days.
Youngest grandma in America. Sorry, my typing's a little loud tonight. Let's see.
Typing.
23. 23 is the world's youngest
23?
Grandmother. Goes to Radhika Sanescu, who gave birth to her daughter Maria when she was just 12 years old. She urged her daughter not to follow in her footsteps, but Maria gave birth to her son when she was only 11. Well, that's a fucking heartwarming story right there.
Beautiful people.
And they were also cousins and brothers and sisters, or however that would work.
I wonder how much of their Medicaid and shit we paid for.
They were actually in Romania, Rufus.
Oh, I thought you had first in America.
Well, I know, and I maybe they moved to America. Sorry about that. I did search America. You know what? Maybe I just searched youngest. Oh no, I put America. I guess let's look at America then. What's your guess? I'm gonna say 27.
God, I have no idea. I'm terrible with numbers and like guessing ranges or distances. I don't know. I'll get on board. I'll one up you. I'll say 28.
Here we go. I once met a 26-year-old grandmother.
Holy shit, that's crazy.
She had 6 kids, and her 13-year-old just had a baby. Jesus Christ.
Okay, let's round them up and put them in a work camp and not let them procreate anymore.
Oh, my God. That is horrible.
Jesus.
I mean, she probably still had a pretty good body for a grandma, I bet.
Yeah, she's a gilf.
A ripe old age of 26. Of course, she had 6 kids, so I'm not sure what that entails. Can't be good on a body, though, I wouldn't think.
If she actually shot them out, then she's probably pretty wide open. But with, oh, wait, not 6 kids at once. Just,
oh, no?
She's, wait,
oh, that's kind of what I was thinking.
She's 26 and has 6 kids?
Yeah, at 23, and her oldest was 13. I mean, I think she starts having kids at 13, right? Because her daughter was 13 and she was 26.
Good
God. I guess
God.
You have a baby every year and a half. For that time, you're going to have 6 kids. Jesus criminy.
Do they all have the same dad? That would be interesting to find out.
Of course they do. It's her dad.
But at this point, it could be her youngest son.
Oh, my God. One of them could be.
I'm the grandma of my own child. So, okay, she has a son at the age of 13, and by 23, she fucks him and gets pregnant and then has a child. Man.
Now, what would that be? Your mom would be your grandma, too, right?
Yeah, grandmom, I think is what you call that.
Literally. I think they call that a mom grand.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's a twisted way to think about it. But it is ridiculous that, like you said, that it's like no one lives with their parents. And the kids are just like on a crash course of fucked upness. And you know what? And Bernie Sanders said it right, and I don't want to really get back to politics, but there is nothing for the middle America to do in this country. All the regular jobs have been shipped out to China. Right? There's no manufacturing left in America. So, I mean, people don't have anything to do. They don't have jobs. They just start smoking crack or meth or whatever because there's nowhere to go to work.
Well, I'll tell you what. If they legalized crack and meth, there'd be jobs. Because people have to make it.
It's already there. The distribution's already set up.
That's right. The logistics are in place.
Even those guys would have to take a pay cut, though. You know what? My buddy, you know this buddy, Joel. You know Joel.
Mm-hmm.
He was, like, mad when I said, well, they should raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour because people can't fucking live, dude. People can't live on $9 an hour. You can't do it, Rufus. Could you possibly live on $9 an hour?
I would move back to Nicaragua and live like a king.
Right. Well, you know what I'm saying. In America, okay, in America, you cannot live on $9 an hour. And he's like,
no.
Well, then there'll be no more dollar menu at McDonald's. And I'm like, yeah, oh, that's a good point. Never mind then. You know, and he's like, well,
I don't want the people at McDonald's making $15 an hour. That's what he said. And he's been unemployed for a year.
So, of course, you know, he would never take a job at McDonald's, though, because that would be humiliating.
I'd take a job at McDonald's in a heartbeat.
Why shouldn't they get a job is a job, dude. You know what I mean? That's just how it is.
Amen.
Working at McDonald's is something that people need to do because people want to eat at fucking McDonald's. So it's just like you're a cog in the wheel, but you at a certain point, there's got to be like a minimum fucking wage that you could live on for 40 hours a week, because what happens is they just end up in the system anyways. So they're working this 40-hour job, and they're getting food stamps, and they're getting this, and it's because they can't be self-sufficient because they don't get enough money.
Right.
Thank you.
And honestly, there's some arrogance in that statement, because he's sort of defeating the whole purpose by saying, he's saying he won't work at McDonald's because he's too good for it, but he's been out of a job for a year. Dude, if I lost my job tomorrow, I would put an application in at McDonald's immediately.
Right. I'm like, how fucking insecure are you to think? I mean, but then I'm like, why would you? So you're judging the people at McDonald's that they are not intelligent because they work at fucking McDonald's? That's fucking like
bullshit.
Saying that we weren't intelligent because we were making sandwiches at the fucking sub shop. Making
and you know
fucking
what?
$5 an hour.
And you know what? They say do what you love, and I have to say that I have never loved a job more than all the jobs that paid less than the job I have now. When I think back on my life, the jobs I enjoy the most were the sub shop, working at the pawn shop that I worked at, all the quote-unquote menial jobs are the jobs that I look back at, and I'm like, man, I wish I could do that again. That was so much fun.
I mean, what an interesting time. Why didn't we make a show about your fucking pawn shop? Now that's, like, considered groundbreaking, but there's no reason back then we shouldn't have just fucking made a show like that.
I know, and before all those shows broke, I had the idea, of course. I was reminiscing about how much fun and crazy and weird that job was, and I was like, man, that would make a great, like, documentary. And then, boom, here comes these bullshit Pawn Stars and Hardcore Pawn or whatever.
You remind me of Chumley. You look a lot like Chumley.
Right.
Spell Chumley for me.
Oh, okay. I mean, I'm in the pawn shop circle still. I'll dial him up.
No, I said spell. Spell Chumley.
Oh, you said call him. Chumley. Oh, no. Chumlee.
Wait, one more time.
Chumlee.
All right, you're right. I don't think a lot of people would know that, and it's actually two words if I'm correct on that.
Is it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think that I saw that on there. How do you think he got that nickname? I mean, is that a nickname, or is that his? He's probably changed it to his real name by now, I would imagine.
I read on, like, Wikipedia at some point, like, how he got that name, and I don't remember. They really have, even though the show's terrible and they're bad actors. You know, they've really been in that business forever, and those two guys grew up together, and that nickname has a legitimate source, but I don't remember what the fuck it is. Now, of course, he makes, like, you know, $65,000 an episode now.
Right.
So he's,
you know what?
I
don't even mind that show. I mind that they're trying to, like, write lines for that fucking show. When they're
that's
like, okay, this episode now has to have some kind of plot. Okay, you know what? The plot is interesting enough just hearing the history and having the item come in. You don't have to have a plot of the fucking show where someone has to buy someone a fucking sandwich at the end or something. You know,
dude, it's so
fine.
It's so funny you bring that up, because last night I was watching some other new quote-unquote reality show where these guys own a gun shop and they sell guns and they're gun experts. And it's supposed to be like, I think it's supposed to like rival the whole Duck Dynasty thing, because they're just, you know, bearded rednecks or whatever. And it was so obviously scripted and terribly acted. There was not a single iota of like any real thing fucking happening. And I was just like, oh man, is this where it's become? At least with Pawn Stars, they do have, you know, points where they kind of teach you something about something. Even though they have the little in-between bullshit about, like, who can eat the biggest piece of pizza, and who the fuck knows.
And now it's always like, Chumley, you're so fuck, Corey, you're so goddamn lazy. I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to.
And then the old man, you're sleeping again. I'm not sleeping. I was in the Navy in 1482.
I love it. You're right. I'm not sleeping, Chumley. That's pretty good there. That was a pretty good. What's the old man's name? Oh, wait, he just called the old man, right?
The old man, that's right. Old man.
Now he doesn't even have a name?
No, no. Just old man.
Can you, like, check out his birth certificate? It just says old man. That's, if I ever have another kid, that's what I'm going to name it.
Old man. Awesome.
Old man Zag. That's the only way you could, like, get that nickname any nowadays. Everybody gets, like, to be an old man now. Way back when people lived to be, like, 60, you're like, yeah, it's old man Harris. He's...
Hey, I got to ask you something. Speaking of age, is it just because we're getting older, or does it seem like nobody seems their age anymore? Like,
well, dude, that's crazy that you say that, because I was just thinking that yesterday in the grocery store. I was looking at some people. I'm like, I wonder how old those people are. And I had no idea. I'm like, oh, my God, that lady could be 35 or she could be 58. I have no fucking idea.
Right. Well, I listen to our episodes and I'm like, we sound like we could be just any fucking 20-year-old idiot. We don't sound like we're in our 40s. We certainly don't look like it. And, like, when I was at the dentist today, the lady that, like, did all the prep work, she was 60, and she told me she's 60, and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? There's no way. And then the guy who came out to survey our land to dig all the trenches for the pipes and stuff, I was talking to him for, like, an hour going over stuff, and then he just mentioned in passing he's 66, and I was like, dude, you fucking look like you're 52. Are you kidding me? I mean,
oh,
is it
no.
just our perspective, or are people like just generally like healthier and more like, is it evolution? I don't know, but it's like nobody I meet looks as old as they actually are or even behaves that old. Nobody I meet is like an old person.
Right, oh, even the old people seem relatively young.
Yeah, all the old, like, this guy was 66, he's almost going to be 67, and I was like, you gotta be kidding me, because he's, like, cussing up a fucking storm and talking like a sailor and, like, nudging me and, you know, or cracking jokes, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Dude, see, that's the kind of guy that lives to be an old, a young 66. I mean, for him, there's a 45-year-old guy out there sitting in a fucking recliner, you know what
right.
I mean, can't fucking hardly breathe.
That's true. That's
I
true.
Mean, I think staying active has got a lot of fucking to do with staying young, no doubt about it.
That's
being active when you're younger. And I mean, I'm saying like in your 20s and 30s and 40s probably has a lot to fucking do with that too. Because if you get old and you just haven't been active, like I'm glad I still mow my own yard and shit. You know, and like pick up trees and swing a hammer once in a while and fix my own furnace. I mean, I can't imagine not doing any of that. I mean, that's like the exercise I get most of the time.
Right. And I think it's even mental, too. I mean, you know, you're not stuck in a rut. You're creative. You're always coming up with ideas and inventions. And me and you are like, you know, changing the world in every episode. I think that has a lot to do with it, too. It's like keeping your brain fresh.
I think
I don't know.
Having,
this seems like that's more common than it used to be.
I think having an open mind just makes you like a happier person. More, it's like when you're more willing to experience different things or even think about things in a different light, I think you're just generally happier because you're able to be more well-rounded. I think if you get in like this rut where things have to be a certain way or the fucking whole world is going to fall apart, it basically like shuts down your happiness in your life. You know what I mean? You're too busy stressing out about what can be perfect or everything needs to be in its place or what other people are doing. You know, you just can't do that. You just got to be like, fuck it.
Oh, no.
This life will kill
you.
That much I know. Life will kill you, Rufus.
I gave up on shit being perfect years ago.
Well, and you know what? It's because we're bigger picture, bigger thinker guys. You know what I mean? I can't mess with the fucking every excruciating detail, because I think that's what, and I hate to use the word establishment, that's what they want you to do. They want you to shut down and be like, yeah, I don't want to fucking
yes.
think anything creative. I'll just sit here and, you know, fill out this form that they want me to fill
right.
out. And I know that's a
right.
way to think, but you know what I'm saying. They always want
no,
you to
you're right.
doing something.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, you can say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory, but it's not. I mean, it's really that's management. In any fucking big business, that's management. Keep the people busy doing busy fucking work so they don't fucking question anything else. Why would that be
right.
different in big government, you know?
And, dude, that's – I mean, I think that exactly what you said there is how we got into this mess. You know what I mean? They're so busy cooking their backdoor deals and getting the – that's the one thing that Bernie said last night. The Koch brothers control this country, and they're evil people, and they want bad things to happen, you know? He's like, they're just – they don't think right. They don't care. They don't have any compassion for, like, regular people, and they don't.
Wow.
And they don't have compassion
for the earth. Did he really say that?
You know, yes,
that's
he did.
Awesome.
That is, I mean, I was a little flabbergasted. I'm like, God, you know what? Bernie could probably get shot or something.
I'm flabbergasted hearing it,
honestly. You know? What's that?
I'm flabbergasted hearing you tell me about it, honestly. That's pretty amazing.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened. I might have dreamed that, but I'm pretty sure that happened. If it didn't,
no,
it I'm, will soon. That's the scary part. I just soothed it.
I must have dreamed it.
Now, is Cheshire the proper way to say that? Cheshire grin? Isn't that what...
like
what,
the Cheshire cat from yeah. Alice in Wonderland? I think
what
so,
exactly
Cheshire.
What exactly is Cheshire grin?
I don't know, but it sounds pricey. Like a cat you got to buy with papers.
You should. I dare you to go to the dentist next time when you have to have this tooth taken out and say, "Give me the Cheshire."
Dude, those are fucking crazy.
You
can oh, the Cheshire
your
smile.
Whole grin.
Okay, I get what you're saying. The grin.
Right. I think that's what
I'll
it
just,
is. I mean, if I.
I'll print out a picture of that cat. Just point and be like, "I'm going to look like that when you guys wake me up."
And then he'd say, oh, okay, you want the Kanye West then.
Right.
Did you see Kanye West? He had a fashion show, right, and debuted his new album, like, during the fashion show.
Ugh.
Obviously, because that's the only way he could get people to come to his fashion show. But the clothes, please, you're in front of your computer. Please Google Kanye West fashion show and tell me that he didn't, like, do some kind of Star Wars ripoff of, like, clothing from when Luke lived on that planet with the land of speeder or whatever they call that little car. You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
Wherever Luke's from.
How do you spell Kanye? E-Y?
C-A-N... Or wait, K-A-N-Y-E.
Y-E? Oh, boy. You
know it.
No, you're right. It's Y-E because Google corrected me.
It's yay, bro. That's yay.
Oh, God. Fucking Kanye West, you douchebag.
Oh,
yeah,
then
I'm
he
looking
said
at it.
He made Taylor Swift famous basically because he jumped up on stage during the Grammys and said that Beyonce should get it. I mean, how could he make her more famous? She was already getting a fucking Grammy at that moment.
He is a fucking douchebag, dude. I mean,
he's an
if
idiot.
There's...
I want to say that hanging around the Kardashians has made him fucking stupider.
Well, it's like a vortex of stupid. I mean, they're stupid, he's stupid, so it's just it's like a
so...
black hole of
they,
you know,
they share the
stupidity.
Communal brain cell. The singular communal brain cell.
God, and look at all these quote-unquote models just looking all dead serious, like this is my big break.
Right.
Like I'm modeling this Kanye thing.
So the rules for the fucking models were like, don't smile, don't make eye contact, don't...
I'm looking at it right now. It's so funny. No fast movements. No sexy posing. Okay.
Right. And what in the hell are you trying to do?
Do not act cool.
Right, yeah. That one caught me off guard, too. I'm like, well, exactly what does that fucking mean?
Okay, wait. It says, do not act cool, and then cool. Two lines down, be calm, be strong. That is cool. That's what cool is. Strong and calm.
Right. So you like those clothes?
Hideous.
Yeah, he's got
They have an aesthetic that I think is quite revolutionary and speaks a lot to the young people of our generation. No, they look fucking stupid.
Yeah, do they not
right.
look
they
like something
like Star Wars? From, they look
yes.
like costumes from like 1977 Star Wars or Star Trek.
Right, that's exactly what I'm thinking.
And he's probably trying to capitalize on the big...
Refugee
he's trying to hide.
Camp. What an idiot. I think there's people out there that need a liver. That's a shame.
Amen to you, brother. I mean, let me say that again. Amen to you. That these idiots fucking have so much fucking money and attention. It's people like this that drag humanity down, I think.
It is.
Honestly.
Dude, it makes you think, really, that shit is so fucking orchestrated by the media and stuff to shape people into being fucking idiots. By watching that shit. I mean, you could easily... I mean, watching that shit is no different than watching fucking Sesame Street. You know what I mean? And you just... That's what you think fucking life is like. It's no wonder people are getting dumber.
Yeah, they are. Every time I watch that movie, Idiocracy, I get more and more depressed because it makes a lot more sense every time. Every year I see it, I'm like, oh, shit.
I'm going to have to write that down. I don't know if I've ever seen it. What's that about?
Dude, you've got to see Idiocracy. It's about this guy. It was made by the guy who made Beavis and Butthead in the movie Office Space. And it's about this guy who in the 90s is a military guy, and they put him to sleep in this chamber as a test. And something goes wrong, and he wakes up like 300 years in the future after people have been watching reality TV and eating fast food for fucking hundreds of years, and the world is just run by complete fucking idiots. There's a worldwide famine because they're watering the crops with like Gatorade instead of like water.
That's when the guy's like, Baton, can't talk, Baton. He's like,
yes, that's it. Every time I see that movie, I'm like, man, we're one step closer. That's exactly where we're heading.
And you know, as fast as technology is now, dude, it will be there shortly. I mean, people can watch that shit 24 fucking hours a day.
Yep.
I mean, there's like a new, look, it's the stupidest people in America, has the biggest following on, you know.
And that's why they end up at Walmart in their pajamas. They roll out of bed, watch that shit, and realize 6 hours later, oh, man, I ain't never got dressed in my done clothes. I need to go get me a pizza from the store.
Yep, you're exactly right. That's the American dream now, though, dude. That's what people consider to be fucking success. You know what? I wish I was joking, but... My daughter told me that some girl at school, right, told her that she just wants to sit on the couch and watch TV all day, just like her mom does.
Oh, my God.
Okay? And you know what? The thing that comes to mind is now you're thinking about a lady sitting at home eating bonbons in her super fucking clean house, sitting and watching soap operas, right, because she's just tackled everything for the day. But it's really some chick in a Green Bay Packers fucking sweatpants sitting in a dirty fucking trailer smoking cigarettes, you know?
She's got the Green Bay Packers sweatpants and, like, the quadruple X Tweety Bird T-shirt from Walmart on.
Yeah, exactly, the Tweety Bird. Tweety Bird has fallen a long way, dude. Tweety Bird, I mean, you know what? And she's probably got on the... the Duck Dynasty hat that was in the fucking clearance bin.
Oh, I'm sure. She's got the 72-ounce Duck Dynasty 7-Eleven cup refillable. It's full of Big Red with no ice.
She's got her camo cup on her in her dirty camo blanket on her couch inside of her thing. I can't find my cup.
Where's my cup? Who took my cup?
It's between your thighs, Mama.
Fill up this cup. So that's the American dream now. That is the fucking American dream.
Yeah. The American dream is Green Bay Packers sweatpants and a quadruple X Sweetie Bird shirt.
And no bra.
Oh, no. They don't make them that big.
Well, you don't need a bra. Why would you need a bra when your tits sit on top of your gut?
Nothing supports tits like a big gut.
Right. Nothing supports it like a big piece of lard. And I'm not skinny by any means, but my tits barely touch my gut. I have to be sitting just right.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, that's... I told my daughter that we don't aim to sit at home in our pajamas and watch TV all day. We're shooting higher. We're at least going to get dressed and sit around and watch TV all day.
That's right. That you got to have some discipline. Get up, shower, shave, put on clothes, sit down, watch TV.
Well, you know what's crazy? And then I'm reading this thing, right? And it's saying that by the way that you groom yourself, and it makes total sense, you know, when you let yourself get all dirty and filthy and don't shower and shit, you don't feel good about yourself. And it starts to fucking take its toll on you psychologically.
It absolutely makes sense. Absolutely makes sense, dude.
So when it's acceptable to sit around in your fucking pajamas all day, you know what I mean? You're going to turn into that. You're just going to turn into, why even bother getting out of my pajamas? They don't care when I pick up my script.
I mean, I can't do that. You know, I work at home. I can't just work in my underwear. I can't roll out of bed and work. And it's not only does it feel gross and, like, you know, disgusting, but just the effort it takes to get up and shower, brush your teeth, and get dressed, just knowing that you the effort involved is like, I'm fucking productive. Let's keep this shit rolling.
I'm not going to say that I've never made a pamphlet in my underwear, because I have made pamphlets in my underwear, and I've made damn good pamphlets in my underwear.
Oh, yeah,
Rufus. But I do fucking feel so much better just after shaving and after showering. You're like, you know what? Fuck. And plus, you got more energy. I feel like if you don't wake up and shower, you're like asleep for like 3 more hours.
Exactly. Exactly.
It was so crazy that when we worked in the sub shop, that girl Deanna was like, "Wow, you smell so nice every day." And all I used was like Ivory soap and deodorant, you know. And I'm like, "Why the fuck? Why would you say that?" And she's like, "Well, Victor stinks so bad every day it makes me sick to my stomach."
Well, he was a wretched fucking beast.
He was putrid. Remember when his girlfriend would come in with all that fucking perfume on, dude, and just fucking stink out the store? She would just
I don't remember
doused.
The perfume, but I remember his girlfriend.
His wife.
I always thought they looked like the number 10 when they stood next to each other.
Yes, they did. I got to imagine that she was once a man, would be my guess.
She might have still been a man and just couldn't find her penis under those rolls.
Dude, do you have your phone with you right now?
Well, I'm talking to you on my phone, yeah.
I know, but is it the one that you use, or are you using your wife's phone?
No, I'm using my phone.
I want to send you a picture of Joe's girlfriend.
Joe?
Yes. Don't say any last names.
I don't even know any last names. Why would you even have this? Are you in contact with Joe?
No, but someone that I was in contact is a friend of Joe's.
Really?
And I kind of stumbled upon Joe. I kind of stumbled upon Joe's girlfriend by accident.
Is he still a 5-star Michelin rated chef?
No, he's unemployed at the moment.
Like most chefs.
Right. Hey, I was going to be a chef for a while. That's
Then I realized it was kind of hard work, and you don't really make that much money unless you own the restaurant. Owning a restaurant is the world's fucking worst job. All right, did you get that?
Not yet.
Oh, my God, dude. Oh, my God. Folks, I wish you could see this. Maybe we'll put it up on the Hypersloth website, but I seriously doubt it because we could probably get in a lot of trouble. So, anyways, wait till you see this. It's like I had to do like 10 double takes because I just was flabbergasted. Hey, I'd like to thank people for listening to the Hypersloth Happy Hour on this Friday night. Even if you're not listening to it on the Friday night, check us out live during the show and give us a call at 646-478-0616 when you get a chance. Anything. You're not even getting that. Okay, fuck it. You'll check it out later. So, back to Valentine's Day. My daughter thinks that there's a Valentine fairy somehow. I don't know if she created it in her own mind, but now we have to get her like some kind of present. Has anybody ever had that happen? Rufus got cut off, damn it. I don't know what happened. And I can't see if he's trying to call back in because it cut me off somehow. I can't find the Blog Talk Radio. Ah, we're going crazy on the Hypersloth Happy Hour with Zigzag and Rufus. Rufus, are you there, sir? Rufus, can you hear me? All right. Well, Rufus is out for the night because Block Talk Radio has a stupid thing where you can't call back in. So I want to say thanks for listening tonight to the Hypersloth Happy Hour with Zigzag and Rufus. I want to say, hey, see you later, Rufus. We got a lot to talk about here in the upcoming future as far as 420 Products USA goes. And, folks, we will check you next Tuesday. I don't know what the date is, but check us out. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to Hypersloth Happy Hour with Zigzag and Rufus.